Okay, go ahead. Good evening to you all. Welcome to our May 24 evening service. This will, Lord willing, be the last time that we'll be streaming from our house. Next week, we plan on having both services held at our church building. So we'll be streaming from the church building next week, Lord willing, for both the AM and the PM service. Let's begin with a time of prayer. Let's pray together. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given to us and the wonderful privilege we have of calling upon you, knowing that our prayers are surely heard and answered because our prayers are offered to you through Jesus Christ. We thank you that Christ has opened a new and living way for us, that when he died, the curtain which barred, which blocked the way was torn in two. We do thank you for your Spirit who lives within us, who puts into words the groans of our hearts, who enables us to pray and teaches us how to pray. We do pray, O Lord, that we would continue to be faithful in the calling that we each receive to be sons and daughters of the King, that we be faithful Christians, that we would be prophets, priests, and kings here below as we look forward to standing before you for all eternity up above. We do, O Lord, thank you again for this day. We thank you for the rain that we received. We thank you for the sunshine and the warm weather. We do thank you for all the provisions that you have given to us, giving us each day our daily bread. Do continue to sustain us, provide for us, and give to us what we need until our journey is finished and bring us safely home at the end of our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin with a reading together from Romans chapter 14. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Having concluded our series through the Belgic Confession, we are returning to the Catechism, starting with Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1, this evening. So we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 14. Our first reading is verses 7 through 9. Romans chapter 14, starting then at verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether you live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord both of the living and the dead. And it's the belonging to the Lord, whether we live or we die, which is going to be the focus of our sermon this evening. But before we read our text from 1 Corinthians, let's turn in our Psalter hymnals to 526. 526, He Leadeth Me. 526, we'll sing all the stanzas of He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, he leadeth me. Jordan leadeth me.
Let's now turn in our Bibles. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we find our text for this evening. We'll be reading verses 17 through 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And here is where we read the word of the Lord concerning the fact that we have been purchased by Christ, belonging to Him. 1 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And then I'd like to read together from the Heidelberg Catechism. We're going to be reading from Lord's Day 1. Question and answer 1 asks us, as Christians, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is this, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how vital is comfort to your well-being? I don't know about you, but personally, it seems to me in the past 2 or 3 months now, this constant change and unexpected restrictions have undermined my perceived stability. Plans that I had and things that I used to enjoy doing have now been hindered or altered or transformed. But this upheaval in my perceived stability has in no way undermined the true and lasting comfort that God's people have in belonging to Jesus Christ. As you may know, sheep will only lie down and only graze and lie down if they are at peace and at rest. If the sheep feel threatened, or if they are harassed, or if they are sick, or if they're under the threat of attack from outside, they will neither be willing to graze nor to lie down and sleep. So it is for us that our God gives us rest. Our God is a God who gives us comfort. And one of the first things that many angels would say to those who they were appearing to would be peace. I bring to you a peace, glad tidings of great joy. So this evening we begin anew our series through the Catechism, starting with question and answer 1. And question and answer 1 is probably the most well-known and beloved question and answers of the Catechism. And as our Catechism and Sunday school students know, our education year was abruptly brought to an end a few months ago. However, we all today have the opportunity to be students, to be catechumens who are educated, who are taught by this catechism, which is a summary of what God's Word teaches. So we're going to look at this theme, that Jesus Christ reveals the source of true and lasting comfort as we live in a comfortless world. And our theme verse is going to be found in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20, which says this, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." In our first point, then, we are going to be considering the need that we all have for comfort. One of the Beatitudes says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So if we take that beatitude in reverse, or the opposite, if you do not mourn for your sins, you will not be comforted. The first reason that we need comfort is because we live in the presence of sin with a fallen, sinful body. We are sinners, as Romans 3 says. And as sinners, there is no one righteous, no, not one. Being a sinner means that we are, by nature, alienated from God. God is angry with our sins, and we are deserving of condemnation and wrath. Added to this, we have our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh that continue to harass us. Our catechism says our sworn enemy is the devil. He's a prowling lion. He's waiting for us. He's trying to attack us. He wants to destroy us. There are principalities and powers which seek to undermine, rulers and dominions that would seek to destroy or marginalize our faith and the church as a whole. The tyranny of the devil, as our catechism says. The devil is the one that we are as a church called to be on guard upon, and not give a foothold to. We also need comfort because we face various trials and tribulations throughout our life, through our pilgrimage, living on a world that is affected by sin. The curse has had consequences upon our bodies and upon our world as a whole. We face these trials, difficult providence. Not only do hairs fall from our head, we face waters that rise and arrows that fly by day. I can mention just a few sources that you and I as a congregation have faced over the past few months. We live in a world of pandemic. We live in a world of political bias. There are rumors and conspiracies. It's so hard to see the truth or the motivation behind the words that people speak, not to mention to understand what are the implications of the decisions that people are making. There is sickness that so easily spreads, and our church remains separated even here on the Lord's Day, where we desire to be together, but we are still unable. We have the possible hardships which might affect you, might affect your family members, the loss of work or decreased income, even the threat of hospitalization. What if one of the members of your family would become hospitalized during this time? As you can see, we all need comfort. We live in the pressing context of this need for comfort. And that's why our catechism begins with this most important question: what is your comfort? Not only what is a source of some comfort for some people, but what is the source of your comfort as a child, as a believer, a son and daughter of God? What is your comfort? Where do you go to find lasting peace in this world of turmoil and trouble and tribulation? Human beings will look all over the place for sources of comfort. We human beings look to distractions and entertainment. They look to food or alcohol or addictions. All of these things are sources of comfort that people seek in times of distress and tribulation. But as a Christian, we only have one source of true, lasting, in life and in death, kind of comfort. And that's found in believing and belonging to Jesus Christ. So as we bring this first point to a conclusion, the question I have for you is, in the past 3 months, have you ever been at a moment in your life, looking at what's been going around, what's been passing in our society, have you ever been at a point where you have said, I need comfort. I long for comfort. I can even speak personally. I've woken up in the middle of the night on multiple occasions in the past 3 months. Genesis 21 puts it, sleep flees from your eyes. You're considering what might be, what is, how to make decisions which are good for everyone, which would be the benefit for the members of the congregation. You don't know which way you are to go. You have this this fog that's in front of you. You seem to be stumbling around in the dark. You don't know which way to go. You don't know which path to take. And it's pressing in upon us. We need lasting comfort. A comfort that is not linked to our specific situations and is never taken away by the trials. Finally, the last reason why we need comfort is because we are all finite and on the way to the grave. We all have our own death that we need to deal with. We need comfort, as our catechism says. What is your only comfort in life and in death? We need comfort in death. And that's why this catechism answer is so wonderfully encompassing. The fact is, the Bible was written to sinners, for sinners, living in a fallen world, on their way to the grave. That's what the gospel is designed for. It's designed for sinners living in a fallen world who have one foot in the grave. That's why the scriptures are so comforting. It's meeting us where we are and pointing us to the only source of true and lasting peace. Well, now that we've caught a glimpse of our need, we quickly move on to consider the source that we have of true and lasting comfort. Isaiah chapter 40 begins with these words, "Comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak peace, speak tenderly to her. Thus says her God." Now, why would Isaiah 40 start with these wonderful words of comfort? Well, in the next verse, we find this. Her warfare is over. Her iniquity is pardoned. Her sins have been atoned for. Her transgressions have been covered. And that's how the church has comfort. That's how sinners find comfort. It's because their sin has been taken away. We've been made to be at peace with God. We've been justified. Our catechism distinguishes the source of this comfort into three categories, which each focus and land on the three persons of the Trinity. And the first reason we have comfort is because we belong to Jesus Christ. Our sins have been paid for by the precious blood of the Passover lamb, as we saw this morning. Our text in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "You are not your own, you are bought with a price." Someone has paid for you. Someone has ransomed you. Someone has paid for your sins. You belong. You have been purchased. You have a new owner. And your new owner is a kind, loving, gracious God. He is your Lord, our Lord and Savior. Now, being a Lord means that Jesus is our owner, that he has a possession upon us, that he has a right to us because he has paid for us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15 says, "Your bodies are members of Christ. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased. Your sins have been washed away. He is your Savior. He's delivered you. He's ransomed you from the grave. He is your protector. He is your provider." As 1 Corinthians 3, verse 23 says, "You are in Christ," or "you are Christ." Now, belonging to someone is not always a comforting truth. If you belong to someone who is cruel, who is an evil person, belonging to them would truly be a horror. But what if you belong to a loving, gentle, tender, compassionate, sympathetic Lord who is also King of Kings and sitting at the right hand of his Father in glory? That is why belonging to Jesus Christ is comforting, is because of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done in order to secure you and to purchase you. That's what is the good news of the gospel. Secondly, the source of our comfort is found in that we belong to a loving Heavenly Father. We have a Father in heaven who has loved us, who has set his affection on us, who has elected us, has set us apart according to his sovereign will, Ephesians 1 puts it. He has called us to be his own. Even before we did anything, he has set his affection upon us and he has elected us. He is the God of providence. He is the God of creation, but also providence. He made all things. He continues to sustain all things. And he is the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The fact that the Father loves us so much that he sent Jesus and he places us in the hands of Jesus Christ for safekeeping. So he is the God who is all-powerful and everywhere present. So as Romans 8 says, God is working in and through all things for the good of those who love him. This Heavenly Father is so powerful that he is able to control and rule rule and reign over all, and he works in and through all things, holding the small and the large, the big and the little, the rise and fall of nations, and even the number of hairs on your head, to the small sparrow that finds a home, to the grass and the flowers of the field that are clothed by his care. So we have the comfort of being children of God himself. The third aspect is that we are comforted in that we are belonging to the Holy Spirit or indwelt by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit whom you have received from God. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us. We're going to celebrate that next week. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the church. The Spirit anoints us. He sanctifies us. He prepares us for glory. He's the Spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit is the deed. He's the proof of purchase. Now, children, if you ever go to Walmart or Target with your parents and you buy something large, you'll find that on your way, as you leave the department store or the grocery store or wherever you are, you leave and you will find that usually there's someone standing at the door and he will check your receipt to make sure that you can prove that you have indeed purchased this large item. They are making sure that you have proof of purchase. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a proof of purchase. He is the seal that God has placed upon us, letting us know, and one day the world will be able to see that we have been paid for, that we are the possession, we are the belonging of Jesus Christ. We are his temple, his building, his field, as 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 says. So the comforting fact is this, that we belong to a God who has taken possession of us. He has taken ownership of us. We are his sheep. We are the people of his pasture, and he is our God. That's why the comfort of belonging is such a blessing. The source of comfort is found in the one to whom we belong. As I said before, belonging to someone can be either a curse or it can be a blessing. It depends who we belong to. Think just for a minute about marriage. Do you think that husbands and wives, do they mind, do they dislike the fact that they belong to each other? Well, not if it's a good Christian godly marriage where the husband is thinking of his wife and putting his wife's needs first, and the wife is thinking of her husband and putting her husband's needs first. In that context, belonging to each other is a great blessing and a wonderful privilege. I imagine that there's a few ladies who are listening to this today, who when they were in their early 20s, when they were engaged to become married to who is now their husband, I imagine you spent time writing your name with your new last name or your soon to be a new last name. Now for you as a fiance, as a prospective soon to be wife, was it a dirge? Was it oppressive for you to think about belonging to your future husband? No, not at all. It's a joy. It's a privilege. It's something that brings you a delight. So it is for us as Christians. We delight in the fact that we can write a new name, a new last name on our name, if you will. We belong to God, and he has purchased us, and his Spirit now lives within us. And we take pleasure in the fact that we are his. Finally, now that we understand why we need comfort and the source of that comfort, we come to our third point, which is the consequence of this comfort. What effect does it have upon us knowing that we belong to Jesus Christ? How does that change knowing that we have this peace in our hearts? Well, as I said before, with sheep, when sheep have rest, when sheep have peace, and that's what comfort means. It means with strength or security. When we have that, sheep will be able to graze. They'll be able to lie down and rest. So we as God's people have the peace, the stability of knowing that we belong to God and that nothing can take us out of his hand and nothing can undo the fact that we've been purchased by Jesus Christ and his Spirit remains within us. one of the specific consequences that we find in our question and answer is that we have assurance that Christ, by his Holy Spirit, is giving us a heart of assurance. Now, assurance is the settled confidence of knowing that your life has a specific trajectory and specific end. In other words, children, knowing that Jesus Christ has purchased you means that you can have confidence of knowing where you will spend eternity. It means that you will have the comfort of knowing that you have eternal life. Romans 8 verse 16 puts it this way: the Holy Spirit bears witness with my own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. So when doubts arise, the Holy Spirit rushes in and calms and quiets those fears and reminds us of what is true, that Christ has purchased us and that we are his. Romans 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. So the first benefit that we have is assurance. The second benefit is found back in our reading from Romans chapter 14. If you'd like to turn back to Romans 14, verses 7 through 9, I'm going to read them again. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Did you catch how verse 7 began? None of us lives to ourselves, and none of us dies to ourselves. If we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So since we have been purchased, we do not live for ourselves. And in fact, our death is not for ourselves. Whether we live or we die, whether we have many years left or only a few short days left in our lives, our life and our death are for God's glory because we belong to him. One thing that this pandemic has done is it's exposed our priorities. What is truly essential? What do we really need? What are the minimum basics that we can get by with? Although I may not agree with the governor of Illinois with his list of which work is essential, what things are essential, and what things are not essential, it is helpful to have a priority in our lives. If we were to strip away all of the excess, all of the things in our lives, if God were to take away our health, if God were to take away our house, if God were to take away our work, would we still have the comfort of belonging? Of knowing that we have been ransomed and redeemed. As Christians, we have something that cannot be taken away. So we ask ourselves, why do we do the things that we do? What must we do now? How does our identity as a purchased Christian change our focus, change our direction, change our motivation? One of the takeaways that we can have, one of the byproducts of this pandemic is that we are called, we are challenged to refocus ourselves. Why did God put us on this earth? Why did Jesus Christ ransom us? Why did his blood cover me? I don't belong to myself. My life is not my own. I belong to Jesus Christ. Take away everything else. If I belong, if I've truly been purchased, then I have a lasting comfort that will never fail. To conclude, understanding what comfort is and where comfort comes from is the key to the catechism. The catechism is called the Book of Comfort. The gospel is good news because it gives comfort to God's people. As our theme states, Jesus Christ reveals the source of lasting comfort as we live in a comfortless world. Now, although I can't see you and I cannot hear your response, I'm going to ask you one more time. Child of God, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the comfort that we have of belonging to you. And we thank you that you have taught us, that you have instructed us in the way of lasting comfort and peace. I pray, Lord, for a blessing upon the members of our congregation, although we are apart on this Lord's Day. We pray that we will soon be able to see each other face to face. I pray, Lord, for the students in our congregation, particularly those who are drawing near to their graduation, those who will be graduating from eighth grade or graduating from high school or college. I pray, Lord, for a blessing upon these, your children. Do protect and provide for them. We pray for the students as they bring an end their school year. We pray that you would keep the members of our church and the students particularly safe throughout the summer months. Help us to be filled with the joy and comfort and lasting peace of belonging to you and knowing that we are yours. We do, O Lord, pray now that you would take this comforting truth and apply it to our hearts by your Spirit. We thank you for Christ's precious blood. We thank you that you, as our Heavenly Father, have purchased us and have called us your own. You've set your love, your seal upon us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We pray, O Lord, that Spirit would continue to assure us, would encourage us and challenge us and call us and enable us to live a new life so that we might truly live for Jesus because we have been purchased by his blood. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the words of the Apostles' Creed together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Let's sing together the words of the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us in our service. And as I said earlier, look forward to seeing you all in the near future. Pray for God's blessing upon you and hope to meet you soon. Take care and God bless. Bye-bye.